do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday. I hope that you are having the most amazing week, except if you are those monkeys messing with punch. Thank you for tuning into Conversations with Toy. I am your podcaster, Toy. I do wear a lot of hats. I am a content creator. I'm a freelance writer. I am a blogger, influencer, but the hats that I love wearing the most is being a mom of three amazing children and a wife. So I am super glad that you are here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you've been here before, you know that I'm going to say that it's never, you know, just a mistake that you've tuned into this podcast on this particular day, whatever day that you are listening to this on. So welcome. Nothing happens by mistake. Everything is done according to what needs to be done. So welcome to another episode. It is Friday. We have survived yet another, you know, traditional work week for those who work a traditional work week hours. And although we don't live just for Fridays, that doesn't mean that we can't still celebrate Fridays, because every day that we are above ground is a day to celebrate. And I'm glad that you were here. Again, like I said, happy Friday and happy, you know, good weeks to all, except for those monkeys messing with Punch. Punch is the sweet monkey that has been taking the world by storm. His mother deserted him. He's been walking around with a little stuffed plush animal that he's kind of like, it's almost like his emotional support animal. And he's been getting the business. Between the other monkeys being jealous of him and beating him up, he just has not had the best road. However, Punch is resilient. Punch could teach you a lot of lessons about resiliency. And I hope that for those of us who are watching, that you are taking notes, because notes need to be taken. If you did not get a chance to listen to last week's episode, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was a good episode in my opinion, but you know, I could be a little bit opinionated, but it was a good one. We talked about, you know, some of the things that were happening on the internet streets, especially when it deals with wellness, specifically about the therapist who decided to denounce the fact that she is no longer a therapist because she wants to be a part of those who are not necessarily healing, but trying to be a part of those who won't even need services. So again, I love the Lord. He has heard my cry, and I love Jesus, but I do believe that you can take care of your mental health and it doesn't have to go against. I do believe that God made therapists for a reason. I think that there are even faith-based therapists if that's something that you seek. I personally do not and would not personally want a faith-based therapist. And this is just personal. I don't knock anybody who is doing it. But for me, I think I've lived too much under the rhetoric of religion and under that level. And when I say religion is different than relationships, so let me be very clear. A lot of people are religious, meaning they know all the scriptures, they do all the things, they do, you know, the these, the thous, they know everything. But when it comes to relationship, it's how you basically live in life, how you show up in spaces. Do people know that you're kind? Do they know that you are, you know, discerning? Do they know that you're not a bad person, that bad mouths people? What is your character like? Because a lot of people who are more religious don't care about their character. This is the reason why they stand on their religion versus their character. And some people can't stand on too much character because they don't have none. Okay. So I would prefer for anything to not be a religious experience, but to be a relationship. So with that being said, I am super grateful for just being here. I'm grateful for today. There is a lot going on. So without any further ado, let's talk about what's happening on these internet streets. What's been talked about on the internet streets when it comes to therapy, mental health, and wellness is about pouring back into yourself. What does it actually mean? People always say you got to pour from, you can't pour from an empty cup. And people don't recognize, they understand the words, like they understand what it should mean, but they don't understand the practicality of what it means because they don't see the examples of what that could look like. For instance, when you're pouring from an empty cup, you may be pouring from a place where you are literally feeling gutted. Right? You feel like you have nothing else to give, and yet your demands in life, the titles that you hold require for you to show up. For instance, if you're a parent, if you're a mother, even though life might be going to hell in a handbasket, you can't always take a pause and say, you know what, I'm going to have a seat somewhere. I got to take a time out, because life doesn't always work that way. So when you're pouring from an empty cup, what your kids and your children may be experiencing is the irritability that's increased because you're at your limit. You've tapped out. You still have to be kind of sort of tapped in, but you're not there. You're not all the way there. And so we need to talk about, what does it look like when you're pouring from an empty cup? What are examples of what it looks like when you're pouring from an empty cup? Because if you could see what it looks like, you can recognize it so that you can then pour back into your cup. And then the next question is, so then what does pouring back into your cup look like? So let's talk about what you look like when you're not pouring into the cup, back, you know, putting anything into your cup. And then how can we put, what does it look like when we start to put things back in our cup? What does pouring back into our cup look like? What does it mean? And what does it look like? Let's have that discussion. One way that you can appear to be pouring from an empty cup is that you cannot focus. What does that mean? You may be working and rereading the same things 5 times. You may be looking at the same thing 2 times and then you forget, like, oh yeah, I was doing A, B, or C. Forgetfulness is a great way to notice that you're pouring from an empty cup. It usually means that your mind is completely preoccupied. You're not really focused on the now. You know how people say, like, you know, are you tuned in or are you tapped in? You're not tapped in. Your mind is going everywhere but what you need to do. So you can't concentrate on one simple task, no matter how small it is. And so that's one example of what it looks like when you're pouring from an empty cup. Another way that you could look like you're pouring from an empty cup is that you say yes automatically. What does that mean? You are so used to giving everybody a yes when you really should say, let me think about that. Let me get back to you. Because you don't find that, one, you're able to. It depends on the people that are asking. If it's the same folk, if it's your family members, your mama, your daughter, your cat, your dog, whatever, they're asking you for whatever it is that they're asking for. You're so conditioned to always say yes. Even in situations where your spirit is telling you, don't do it. You know what I mean? You give money to somebody, you know that you're not supposed to, but you know they'll guilt trip you. And because you're not wanting to hear the guilt trip, you just automatically say yes. But in the yes, you're frustrated. You're mad at them for asking. You're mad at yourself for saying yes. And you're mad at yourself because you know you're never going to see that money again. So you're the automatic yes. You don't consider it. You don't think about it. You don't say, hey, let me get back to you. Let me see what I have yet to do. And I'm going to be, here's a little thing, just a little trip. You might not have anything to do and you may not want nothing to do. And not having anything to do, not wanting anything to do is also self-care. We'll get to that in a minute. Like I said, you forget simple things. You don't know where your keys are. You forget a doctor's appointment. You know, your brain is on overload. You have no idea what's going on. You can't tell your left from your right and your right from your left. Those are examples. Another one is multitasking. Now, it takes you a lot longer to do it. Like, for instance, I think I'm a good multitasker depending on the situation. If it's something that has to do, like, with relationship, I cannot multitask. I can't do... It's hard for me to sometimes to decipher, like, okay, my husband needs me to do this. I need to do that. He wants more of me here. I want more of that. I have to take certain things and kind of slow it down so I can make it more practical. Once I make it more practical, then I feel like I'm walking in it. But when it comes to other things, like I can write something, I can edit a video, I can do multiple things. But sometimes even in that, as multitasking as I can be, may be harder for me to do it. I find it's taking me twice as long. I was editing something and it was taking me forever. Now, was it because I was like, you know, like this perfectionist? No. It had everything to do because my mind was in multiple places. Again, irritable at small things. You'll be irritable like, okay, somebody moved my cracker. the cracker that's like right there, but it's not in the exact, like it might have moved a little bit because maybe a bag was put down. And you might be like, girl, it's a cracker, but it's the little things. It's always the little things. Littlest things will always then multiply to become bigger things. And those little things will set you off quicker. I am a living witness. I can be cool as a cucumber, but one small thing, it could be, I don't know if I talked about this last week on the podcast. I just feel like I have. Last week, it was something happened with my kids and I was like, hey, who did this? Who did that? And it literally just sent me into another tailspin because it's the small things. Okay. Another way that you can look like you're pouring from an empty cup is you avoid decisions. The small things like what to eat, right? You know, you should eat. You got plenty of options in the home. Maybe some of you have too many options and therefore you're doing the most. But for a lot of people, you have enough options. May not be the ones you exactly want, but something as simple as getting up and you know, you need to eat breakfast to start your day, to fuel your day. And you're just like, well, I should eat. I don't know if I should eat. Then you start thinking about all the things you have going on in life. Next thing you know, it's 12. Then you know you should eat at lunch. You know you're supposed to do something, but you don't do that. And then you look up and now it's time to go home. You're starving and it's dinner time. Okay. Scrolling endlessly. If you cannot put your cell phone down, if you cannot step away from your computer, if you cannot do that, you could be pouring from empty cup. Because when you're scrolling mindlessly, now there's a difference. Like I do sometimes, like I think they call it, what is it? Bed grunging is, I don't know the term, exact term, but it's basically you sit in bed and you dedicate your time to just doing that. Like you may take an hour and, you know, you could just get up, but you're like, you know what? I'm gonna take an hour. I'm just gonna just sit here. I'm gonna have my mindless scroll. That's not the same thing as when you're pouring from an empty cup and you seem like you're so addicted to the phone that you can't put it down because you're looking at everything that's going on. You're comparing everything that you don't have compared to what you think somebody has online. And let me just say, as a content creator, things could be a lot of smoke and screens. Ask me how I know. Okay, so those are examples of what it looks like or what it possibly could look like when you're pouring from an empty cup. So what does it mean to pour back into yourself? If you're giving yourself care, attention, rest, and nourishment, meaning are you feeding yourself? Are you taking and getting enough sleep? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you paying attention to the fact that you're irritable? You need to take a step back. Are you paying attention to the fact that you just said yes to somebody and then they asked you something 2 days ago, 2 days later, and you're saying yes again without taking proper precaution to ask yourself if this is necessary? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you staying up late at night because you're overthinking about or just thinking about the things that you have going on in your life? Are you taking a step back? How are your environments? What are the environments like around you? Is your environment like in your home where you have other people? Would they demonstrate the fact that they feel like your environment is peaceful because you're contributing to that? Or are you contributing to it being chaotic? Chaotic in the way that you speak, chaotic in the way that you act. Think about those things. Because if you are taking note of those things, taking a step back, making sure that you're eating, making sure that you're resting, making sure that you look at the thoughtfulness of yourself, I get it. We are taught to be considerate about other people. But yes, you also have to do the same for yourself. This is why even in the Bible, it talks about, you know, everybody don't read the Bible. But in the Bible, it talks about how our husbands are supposed to love their wives as God loves us. And so therefore, that's how you know if there's a leader in your home or if you have somebody that just wants to have on a pair of pants, right? And so you have to treat yourself with the same kindness that you may teach your child. Like you wouldn't teach your daughter to just do whatever she want to do. Don't care about her appearance. Don't care about how she looks. Don't care about how she feels. You would teach your daughter to care about herself. So when you teach others, you have to also take the lesson inside. Okay, message. You got to put that message on the inside as well. Here are some ways. Here are a few simple ways. And they may take a lot of things to do. It may make a lot. You may have to tell yourself, you really have to retrain your way that you think about yourself. You may have to retrain the way you love yourself. That's why people call it self-care and self-love. Because a lot of us love others because of the things that they do for us, the things that they can give to us. But we don't have enough to love ourselves because we haven't learned how to love ourselves first. So you could be very much coupled in a situation. You could be in a situationship which already lets you know you're not loving yourself enough in the first place. But you've got to, again, that self-care, that self-love, how do you showcase that, right? You give yourself permission to pause, say, hey, even if I have a laundry list of things that I would like to get done and it doesn't happen, guess what? Life is not over. It's going to be all right. You will be okay. You're going to make it another day. right? You get to take the time to say, I can't do everything in a day. I'll get back to it tomorrow. If you choose to do one task at a time, instead of multitasking, complete one task. And that's going to be hard for a lot. I'm speaking to myself because I am the queen of, I can do it all. I can just get, it'll be okay. I'll just do 20 things. It's totally okay. But the reality of it is that we're not always made to do that. And so slowing down is going to be a lot for some of us. And I'm putting myself in there too. Another way that you know that you're pouring back into yourself, if you are setting boundaries about what your bandwidth. You ever heard somebody say, I can't do another thing. I can't take another thing. I can't have another thing. Then what boundaries did you put into place before you got to that point? Before, you know, used to people say, you know, you're getting on my quote unquote last nerves. And they would say, tie a knot and keep on moving. Well, in life, we're learning now that, yes, we can keep on moving, but we don't have to. We actually are. It's okay for us to take a break. It's okay to take a step back, right? But what are you putting into place that it says, you know what? I cannot add anything else to my plate. I can't say yes to everything, you know. Even with content creation, I've been in situations where I've had content creation happen and I've been asked to come to this event. I've been asked to come to this and that. But reality of it is that I can't. I can't add anything else onto my schedule. My schedule is already jam-packed. I don't have room. Well, your mind works the same way. You need to know what your bandwidth is. Like I had said, I think two episodes before, we can't wait to put an emergency plan into play after the fact. We have to know what the emergency plan is before you need the emergency. Okay, so your mind works the same way. Have you created pockets of quiet? In my pocket of quiet, I like to listen to music on my headphones. I like to watch maybe something on, you know, maybe something on TikTok. Maybe that's my thing. That is my thing sometimes. But maybe sometimes for me, I like to read a good book, or I may use my word puzzle. I've been using this word puzzle. Ooh, it's been good. Or word search. I love, absolutely love a word search. Those are things that are in my pockets of quiet. My word search, my music, my book, quiet. What is in your pockets of quiet? Do you like to be artistic and color and paint? Whatever is in your pockets of quiet, that's what you need to be doing. Now, you may say, Toy, I ain't got no pockets of quiet. I know. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. You need a pocket of quiet because that is how you pour back into your cup. We all need times of quiet. And here's the thing. Hey, it can't be when everybody goes to bed and now you just can sit there and think more and more about your life and how you need to do more and more and more. No, it has to be something you create. Did you create a pocket of quiet? Not just in a time came where you had quiet, but then you're not also putting back into your cup. See, some of us have quiet. You know, you have a family, your family finally goes to bed, the house is finally quiet, you can hear the noise of this, you know, people snoring or sleeping, it's quiet. But what are you doing in that pocket of quiet? Did you create something that was just for you in that pocket of quiet? Also, and this is going to hurt a lot of y'all, asking for help is also another way to pour back into your cup. I saw a woman and she was valid. Like when I tell you she was 100% valid in her crash out, now she was vulgar. So I'm not going to play the video here. And also I'm not about to, you know, encourage this, but she was saying when she was doing all the wrong things, right? And she was talking about more sexually, her family and friends was telling her, you know, in order for her to be a good mom, to be a decent person, that she was going to have to do better. And 100% I agree with whomever told her that. I do agree. I think that that is something that you should consider, that if you're trying to become a better person, that using your body may not be the best way to go about it. However, what she was saying is that she's trying to do the right thing. Instead of using things like her body, she's trying to find ways that she got a job. She has children she's trying to take care of. So she's not trying to depend on a man by doing the things for little strange things for some change to get from point A to point B. However, she said, you know, I needed things like, hey, can you just run my daughter over to her grandmother's house so the grandmother can help? Could you pick this up and do A, B, and C? And her family was giving her a pushback. And her thought was, when I was doing it the other way, meaning I was using my body, I had more peace than when I wasn't. And y'all were the main ones encouraging me to do the right thing. But when I need help to get past certain things so I don't slide back into the bad thing, you're not helping. There are a lot of people who deal with this. Everybody has an opinion about what somebody shoulda, coulda, woulda did, but you are not also a good source of anybody that's going to be able to help them to make the better decisions or keep in their decision making. She was already making good decisions. She made the choice to stop using her body, right? She made the choice to stop using her body to get the things that she wanted. And so now she's working, she's, you know, being respectful, part of the community, and she still needed help. And the same people who told her not to do these certain things weren't always the same folks that was like, you know what, let me look, you're doing the right things, let me go ahead and give you a little bit of help. And she was crashing out about it. And again, I know that in life, you, no matter what you do, good, bad, or indifferent, nobody owes you anything. 100%. Do you hear me? 100%. I understand all of those things. We don't have villages like we used to. Villages are changing. The scale of what villages are able to do is changed. I'm going to offer something that I had to work through. My husband and I had to work through together, is that we're so used to our villages being our parents, our aunties and our uncles, our cousins and them. And the villages are not looking the same. Grandparents are not in the same place where they can help raise children like they used to. And quite frankly, should have never have had to. We understand that. Let's acknowledge that so y'all can receive the next part. And we don't have aunties and uncles because they're doing their thing and they may have their own families that they're doing all the things. Listen, we acknowledge those things. However, the village may look different. And because we're so stuck on it looking a certain way, we might be in a situation where we're not understanding that we're cutting off our help because it doesn't look the way we want. You may want certain key players. Like I have said this a million one times. When I moved down from Lancaster to Pennsylvania, my biggest struggle was that my support system in Lancaster was airtight. Do you understand me? There wasn't anything that I didn't need that I didn't have access to. It didn't matter who it was. I had a small circle, but my circle, well, let me tell you something about my circle, people. We're gonna continue talking about pouring into your cup. But my circle was small because I didn't allow everybody around my child at the time. But it was mighty. Do you understand? There were times when I would have to go into the hospital with her because she was born with breathing issues, right? Asthma and things. And so when I needed to go into the hospital, I could get somebody to come move my car so my car wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't incur all these fees for her being in the hospital and all that stuff. I could get somebody to say, hey, I'll keep her until you can get off of work. I had people that would say, hey, I'll go do your grocery shopping for you, or I'll keep her while you can do it. I had an airtight community. Moving from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that community went to hell in a handbasket. I had very limited people. If it wasn't for my mother-in-law doing it every now and again, I didn't have anybody. I remember people, even from my husband's side of the family, asking me to watch their child, but they ain't watch none of mine. So when I needed them to watch it, all of a sudden they was unavailable and too busy. I learned very quickly, you'll never get another chance. I ain't watching nobody's kids. I ain't doing none of that. You know why? Because my community and my circle of people were different. But what I did learn is that when I learned that my circle was different, but it was still mighty, is when I learned that if I asked for help from my friends became the biggest support system. I love my family because I know there's probably family members that's like, well, you never asked. I don't even live in the same city as the people that I would even consider if somebody have an attitude about this, right? And even the ones that may want to catch an attitude, where did I lie at? Where's the lie at? Like, show me where the lie is at. Because I can actually prove receipts. I got receipts of the things that I may have asked and didn't get because, you know, folks be folking. But at the end of the day, when I realized that my village included my friends, my airtight village that I had in Lancaster became strong as it was there here. I just had to learn to ask. And sometimes asking is another way to pour back into your cup and to protecting your focus. How do you protect it, right? Ask yourself, what actually does deserve your energy? Like the other day, now my oldest is about to graduate next year, but we have so many events that are coming up. You know how it is. And because of those things, I almost wrote a petty post. I was going to write a petty post. And let me tell you what the post is. I got to get out of my system, so I might as well tell you. In my petty post, I was going to say, hey, we're getting to that time of, you know, the time of Nyla's life, my daughter's life, where we're going to get to the point where all these different events is going to be happening. We got junior prom, we got senior prom, we got this, we got that. And so many people are going to want to have front row seats. Right? They're going to want to have front row seats to the things that she's doing, the big events, right? The big ones. And I ain't heard a month of Sunday from folks who ain't never called to see if these kids was okay. Hey, y'all need anything? You need anything? My husband got sick and I ain't heard nobody say, hey, how's everything going with him? Is there anything I can do? And then actually followed up with, this is what I can do to help you. I don't like when people say, well, tell me what I can do. You do know there's something you could do. Say, hey, these are the resources that I have. Is any of these things of help to you? That's how you ask. And my petty post was going to say those very things. And then I said to myself, you're trying to take care of your mental health and wellness. Stirring the pot for why? Because if these people decided from my post to then all of a sudden call and do, it would be performative. Right? So I said, am I wasting my energy? Right? I'm supposed to be taking care of myself. I'm supposed to be making sure that I put my focus on things that matter. That didn't matter. Because when these big events happen, we're going to have some people who ain't never checked on these babies. They're going to come over here and they're going to skin and grin and they're going to take their pictures. And I'm going to hear the same thing. I'm going to tell you what I'm hearing on my side. She looks just like you. Oh my gosh. She's so big and beautiful. She's just doing, we're so proud of her. You don't even know her. She don't even know you. And that's what I'm going to hear. And me writing that post wasn't going to change that. These folks are performative. There are people in both sides of my side of the family, my husband's side of the family, friends that are performative. People are performative. So why would I waste my energy making that post so I can stir the pot? And for why these folks will do what folks will do. So in essence, to keep my mental health in check, not stir the pot and then get ready to be mad when I have to then defend it, which I'm going to tell you one thing about me. I actually do like to fight a little. I like to fight a lot, but in my 40s, I'm not fighting with my hands. I'm not fighting with my mouth even. I just not dealing with folks. That's the sweet spot. And you get to them good 40s. You used to that light bulb come on. You ever watched Madea plays? You talk about when your bulb come on. Well, the bulb has been on. I'm about to be 45. I ain't fighting with nobody because the receipts receipt themselves. My children don't know certain people's names. Now, some could say that's my husband and I's fault. Give or take, could be. I'll take my responsibility in that. He'll take his. But the other part of it is that I don't chase. I never had to chase people. I grew up with people where I've watched people chase, right? But I learned that people do what they actually want to do for those that they want to do it for. So when I grasped that knowledge, I learned that in therapy. It was a hard lesson for me. I learned that a couple of years ago. But when I learned that lesson, it made it easier for me to say, hey, if you wanted to, they would. You ever hear that? When they talk about relationships, everybody's quick to say, if he wanted to get you flowers, he would. You're 100% correct. If he wanted to get you flowers, he would. And if they wanted to show up and be a part, they would. I had somebody in a family member write on my social media page, and it was from a name I didn't even know. And to this day, I was just like, okay, what was you thinking? If you wrote it on a social media page, I would say, oh my God, you should come. No. And they were just like, well, you know, we would have come. And I think it was my oldest was graduating, going into high school. Right. And now she's about to graduate next year and go out of high school. Right. And they wrote this like, oh, you know, if we would have known, we would have come. If it would have been more communication, you might not have needed to see it on social media. You might have already known about it. And people who want to be a part of lives, they are a part of lives. But I had to learn that instead of me getting upset by the fact that folks don't show up, I'm just grateful for the folks who do. My children have a bountiful, bountiful amount of folk that pour into them. They know that my children just got ABC award before it would hit online because we talk often, right? They would know that my children got a scholarship to whatever they have gotten a scholarship to because they are communicative outside of social media. And so when it's already on social media, those who were involved, those who were engulfed, those who were shown up would have already known. What I am learning, even in that self-care and pouring back into my cup, is things are already put into place and I don't have to fight the battle anymore. I don't have to fight the fight. I'm not saying, oh, you know, well, next time. I'm not doing any of that. I'm standing firm on what is, and I'm going to keep it moving. So again, you need to know what it looks like when you're not pouring into your cup. You also need to recognize what it looks like to pour into your cup. And then you have to make sure that you are focused on the things that matter. Like I said, that example with my daughter is a touchy spot for me, because when I got pregnant with her, mind you, I was 28 years old. I was 27 when I got pregnant with her. I was 28 when I had her. People made a big deal as if I was some 17-year-old girl that had just gotten pregnant. I had already graduated from high school, graduated from college, had a job, had a car, had a place, right? Everything that you're supposed to have to when you're supposed to be an adult, right? And not being married was the only thing that the people from my church and people from my family was focused on. Not to mention if all of their kids had already had kids before they was 20, not to mention the older kids, all these things, right? No need to go backwards. But that part of me with my child, specifically my oldest daughter, has a touchy spot for me. And I'm going to be very open to admit that so that I can then focus on going forward. Like, I'm going to be working with this with my therapist about how do I go forward in this new season and then also take care of myself. And also still putting boundaries in place. Just because I have to open it up to more people than I would like to where it comes to her celebration doesn't mean that I'm not putting checks and balances. You are not going to come in there and run Russia, like my mom would say, and do what you want to do just because I have to be more open to the fact of having other people around her than the people who have been supporting her. That doesn't mean I'm going to let you run over and do what you think you're going to do. That doesn't mean you get to have no say about what you think should be happening. All those things are put into place. So how to place those boundaries are going to be key for me. And if you've ever dealt with something like this, I'm quite sure you may have the same types of feelings. You've got to know where those checks and balances are, right? And also, I'll just say this very openly. Where I'm concerned, I'm not very sociable with people. Never have, probably never will. I have had social moments with a lot of people, but I'm not as sociable because I recognize my anxiety. I recognize when I need to pull back, and I'm not as open to just flow with people, because flowing with people and having those spirits interchange, I'm not here for it. I just something that I've learned about myself, and I'm okay with that. I say all that to say my husband is more sociable, so people will gravitate towards him, and it's not in some disrespectful way, but they will gravitate towards him. And my issue with all those things, as I'm dealing with and learning more about myself, is the fact that you might gravitate towards him for more things, but him and I have a conversation that leads and will precede anything and anybody that thinks that because they feel like they'll just, well, I'll bypass the wife and go to the husband. It ain't going to get you but so far. It's not going to get people but so far, because as sociable as I'm not, I am still direct. And because I have no fear factor of people not liking me, because people ain't been liking me, only because of the simple fact that I just, you know, it could be things that have happened or just whatever the case may be, I'm not interested in folks liking me to a certain degree. I'm okay with telling you no, where he might not. I'm okay with telling you no. So this is very interesting as I'm, and again, I love it. I absolutely love when my life and the things that I have going on could be the topic of discussion. Because what I've said plenty of times, and I'm going to say it again, one thing I can be a master of is a master of me. And because I'm a master of me, I don't have a problem talking about something before somebody get a hold to it. I have no issues with that. But again, I'm hoping that something that I am saying is resonating, because it's true. A lot of us are dealing with these interchangeable relationships, family relationships and dynamics, friend relationships and dynamics, children relationships and dynamics. And a lot of that does play. It does have a heavy play in how you move and what you say yes or no to. It just is simple and does. It just does. And so as you're navigating these things, learn to pour into your cup, because when your cup is full, you can put these little things, some things to the side, some things do have to go to the side. And the others, you're like, you know what? Nuck if you buck. I don't owe nothing to nobody. Nobody can hold nothing over my head. And that's the way I like, you know, song like, that's the way I like it. That's the way I like it. Because I can be free. And one thing, at 40 something years old, I want to be free. I don't want to be held back to anybody's opinions and think that I can only grow but so far because you put a curse on me because you don't like me, so nothing I do will be successful. That's not how this works. This is not how this works at all. All I want is for everybody, including myself, to live with peace with those who want to be living in peace, because that's a big one right there. I went to a family function And it wasn't my side of the family. And somebody said something to me before I can even put my foot on the porch. It took Jesus Christ, the black and the brown one, for me to not turn around and tell my husband, you and them kids, go ahead, get yourselves an Uber on home. I'm going to go ahead and head out because I think we were in my car. I'm going to go ahead and head out. Now, what upset me was not that they had said it. That didn't move me neither here nor there. I wasn't even shocked by it. What upset me in the situation was that I was trying to, quote unquote, keep the peace. And what I really should have done was left. Remove myself immediately. How do you bother somebody who ain't put their baby toe on a porch? A house that wasn't even yours to start something. How? So I was very upset for a while. I had to talk to my therapist about that. Because I was like, why didn't I say something? Why did I try to keep the peace? I'm not in the place of keeping peace. If for any reason I go to anything, this is my side of the family, his side of the family, friends that I'm just kind of like cordial with, but it's like we just kiki, but I ain't really like fooling with you like that. I'm not keeping the peace anymore. What that means is I'm not going to ever get in any place and act a fool. Never. Because that's not me. That's not how I'm rolling. But I will remove myself without even an explanation. I will just turn around and walk away. Get up and you can then say all the things that you choose to say as you say it to the backside of me because I'm going to be up out of here. I am no longer doing that. And you know what? That's a beautiful balance. Because again, what has keeping the peace ever done? Nothing. It made me more mad just the fact that, again, not that I didn't say anything because I should have cussed them out. I'm beyond cussing folks out. I used to do that so well. I cuss so good. I still cuss so good. But I used to cuss real, real good to folk if you, quote unquote, got on my nerves. If you quote unquote disrespectful, you disrespecting me. You know, when you're in your 20s, you think you know everything and you slowly learn when you get to your 30s and 40s, you know nothing, right? Right. I got to that point. I had to learn you don't know nothing. You was talking at the side of your neck to people that you should have been quiet to. You should have apologized a lot quicker than you should have. You should have been more humble than you should have. Oh, I learned some deep-seated relationships when I went no contact with a bunch of people. In going no contact with folks, it felt like God was kicking my behind. It was like, you know, when you get them kids that needed to get their behind kicked just a little bit, that's how I felt. And I felt like God was like, girl, you are out of pocket. You are out of control. You are doing too much. This is not of me. I never told you to say that. I never told you to do that. You are moving on your own. And I had to learn that horrible lesson. And as much as I was pointing the finger out, my therapist said, no, let's turn them fingers in. And when that happened, I felt like I was being ripped because I had to go back mentally and emotionally and deal with myself where my out of control spirit was, to be honest. And now that I feel like my spirit is a lot more under control, I have no fight in me to start fighting folks for nothing. And even if it's for something, I ain't got it. I can't go back. My children need me. But in that, I still learned that just because there was a lot about me that I needed to fix, there was a lot about the situation that needed to be dealt with. And what I decided to do was to grant peace and love to people that would never return it back to me. And that lesson gave me the strength to be the person that I am right now. People do not have a front row seat in my life. I don't sit around talking about these folks. It's only situational. When certain situations come up, I am triggered by it. And I say to myself and to my therapist, this is bothering me. What do I need to do? What should my response be? How can I get to a place where I can live a harmony with people that I don't want to be around? And then if and when they do something that is disrespectful to me, I want to know how I can handle it. And if that means leaving, then that's what I will do. I love that my husband has been very open to having conversations about whomever, and saying the things out loud instead of just saying it quietly amongst us, like saying it out loud has been healing for me. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. But again, how can you pour into yourself and recognize the many of times when you haven't or not so that you can get to the place where you can do better and making sure that you were good? Because this world is already designed to do the most. You've got to get into your spirit, how you can take care of yourself. So that is the episode. And I'm glad that my life was the focus point for this episode, because I talk about myself because I know myself well. I can't talk about what so-and-so is doing at their house. I don't care what so-and-so is doing at their house, because what so-and-so is doing at their house ain't got nothing to do with me. What I do know is what the things that I still trip up on, the things that I'm still having happen, the things that I'm learning about myself, the things I'm learning about the people around me, and the checks and balances that are being put into place in my life, in the lives of my children, in the lives of those who I am around and beyond. So I am grateful. I'm grateful for everything that I felt like I quote unquote lost. I used to feel like I lost so much, but what I learned is that I gained so much more. And I probably would not be a solid 5 second solid human if I had not had to take a chance to leave my environment, which was Lancaster, move up here. It felt like I was fighting for my life, but in fighting for my life, I got my life back. I don't think I would be the parent that I'm at, that I am right now, if I hadn't moved here. I don't think I'm the person that I am. And I definitely wouldn't even be a business person if I not moved from where I was to where I am now. So even in the tough things, even the things that look bad, it literally can be a focus point of being a beautiful thing. So I'm grateful for your attention today on this episode. Thank you for all the things that you guys are doing. Y'all are like running my numbers up, and I love that. That means you're listening, and I'm hoping that in listening that it's because it's something that feels good, it's something that is good, and that is something that is building you up, or at least making you think. I was listening to a speech by David Banner, and he was saying, you may not like me, and you may be thinking all kinds of things about me, but what you think about me doesn't matter, but at least you're thinking. And I said, somebody give him the offering plate, because that man preached in that speech right there. But yeah, you may have your thoughts about what you're thinking about me. I'm not here to change that. I'm not here to make you look differently or to uplift me and high five me. That's not where I'm at, but at least you're thinking. That's all I can ask for, is that you at least think. Okay, so that is the episode. You know the drill. Find one activity, if not more, that you can pour into yourself this weekend and this week. Make sure that it has nothing to do with your titles. Make sure that you are doing something that you love, you enjoy. And here in Philadelphia, I'm hearing rumblings that it might be a little warmer. So I love that for all of us. And I'm hoping that you have the best week and the best weekend. And we will be back next week to talk about it some more. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.